Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 35 degrees, overcast, with some wet snow falling this morning. Today is Wednesday, February 22nd, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The new head of the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SERCH, says the organization is losing money and that difficult changes are on the way. But in a letter to SERCH employees, CEO Charles Clement says the healthcare organization's long-term future is positive. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
The letter says SERCH lost more than $4 million in 2011. CEO Charles Clement writes that the problems did not materialize overnight, but, quote, are the consequences of inattention to the evolving nature of healthcare, the business of tribal healthcare specifically, and a failure to effectively manage such complex issues, unquote. SERCH is a nonprofit tribal health consortium that operates in 18 communities throughout Southeast Alaska. With nearly 1,000 employees, it's the region's largest private employer. Headquarters are in Juneau, with a large hospital and a medical campus in Sitka. Clement started work as CEO on February 6th. His letter says SERCH is facing major challenges, such as the rising cost of providing health care and limited federal compact funding. That federal money makes up nearly half the organization's budget of more than $115 million. Clement calls for more innovation in delivering health care and more responsibility in recovering expenses. His letter does not provide details of how that will happen, but he writes that in the upcoming weeks and months, there will be changes, some of which will be, quote, extremely difficult and perhaps even heart-wrenching. SERCH spokesman Michael Jenkins declined to comment on the letter Tuesday, but said Clement would be free for an interview sometime next week. Jenkins says the letter is meant to provide information to staff in a transparent fashion. The situation spelled out in the letter paints a different picture than SERCH's most recent annual report. In 2010, the organization saw a net income of nearly $600,000, up from about $350,000 in 2009. Then CEO Roald Helgason wrote in the 2010 report that SERCH exceeded its financial goals that year, watching its programs grow as the finances stayed in balance. Patient visits were up across the board, and facilities were being renovated or expanded to the tune of millions of dollars, mostly from grants and government sources. Helgason was not immediately available Tuesday afternoon for an interview. Exactly what happened in 2011 to change SERCH's financial picture is not made clear by the letter. Clement says SERCH needs to rebuild, but he also says he's incredibly optimistic about the organization's long-term future. In less urgent times, he says he would want to engage staff on the best ways to solve the consortium's financial issues. But this situation is critical, he says, and the sooner the changes occur, the less drastic they'll be. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The Sitka High drama, debate, and forensics team was successful at the state tournament in Anchorage over the weekend, though success in this case sounds like an understatement. Sitka won the 3A team titles in each of the three categories of the competition. Drama, debate, and forensics won the overall team title, won 9 individual championships, and outscored even the closest large 4A school by over 20 points. First, some full disclosure. A little over 18 years ago, I contributed some DNA to this story. More on that in a moment. I also contributed some marital vows.
I've been coaching 25 years now, and I have to say we've had other state victories, but not this decisively.
That is Stacy Woolsey, one of Sitka's 3 DDF coaches and the architect of Sitka's debate strategy. Stephanie Ask handles the drama side of things.
They worked so hard. It was great to watch.
I have no relationship with Stephanie Ask, except I have had pizza with her cats. We're used to hearing about Sitka's success in DDF and reading about the team and the Sentinel. They're sort of like the Yankees, always in the race, often get the pennant, win the series once in a while. This year was different. Something peaked for Sitka. In performances especially, Stephanie Ask was seeing students move beyond just really good acting. This happened with Emma Wilbur, a senior who took 2nd in DI, or dramatic interpretation.
So often, when you do something funny, you're feeding off of laughter and applause and that kind of feedback that you get from a room. You don't get that with a dramatic interpretation, but if you're really, really pushing it emotionally and really tapping into that character, you start to feel the tension in the room rise, And I think you can feed off of that.
The same was true of another Emma, Emma Brule, a sophomore competing in her first state meet, who took first in solo acting and scored first on every ballot in every round. Sitka's lighter performances also took top slots. Emily Pratt with a humorous riff on the Twilight series. Kaya Pike took third in HI. And sophomores Ryan Apathy and Ben Gordon with a duo interpretation of the Calvin and Hobbes series. Seniors Sam Woolsey and Alaire Huey took second in duo interpretation with a tragic comic piece called Mr. Marmalade. Ben Gordon and George Jones took first place in Mime. Ryan Apathy and Emma Brule took fourth. Sophomore Kaya Pike and freshman Celia Lubin took fourth in duet acting. So that's drama. Forensics is the art of speaking persuasively. Sitka has one competitor who so totally dominates this category, it almost takes the fun out of it for other schools. Senior Zephyr Ferriok.
Zephyr is like a force unto himself.
Yes.
He earned more points at the state tournament than 17 schools who were there. I mean, he took first or second in every event that he entered, oration, domestic extemp, debate. He is unstoppable. The kid is amazing.
It should come as no surprise that Ferriok and his partner, sophomore Kaya Pike, were also co-champions in debate. But this is where the story becomes a little strange and that DNA of mine that I was telling you about comes into play. Ferriok and Pike broke into the semifinals in debate with my own kid, Sam, and his partner, Evan Harrington, both seniors. A third Sitka team, sophomores Ben Gordon and Ryan Apathy, also made the semis. So after 3 days of debate among teams from 23 schools in Alaska, the tournament boiled down to four teams, three from Sitka and the fourth from Whitestone, also known as two-time defending state champion Whitestone. Incredibly, this was exactly the same scenario and nearly the same cast as last year, with one exception. Last year, Whitestone faced Sitka's freshmen in the semis, and Sitka's more experienced teams had to debate each other to get to the final. This time, though, the semifinal bracket pitted Sam and Evan against Whitestone, and Zephyr and Kaya against teammates Ben and Ryan. The Sitka coaches called a huddle. Literally, the team circled around like the Steelers to strategize. Ultimately, they decided that Sitka's star sophomores would forfeit the semifinal, which meant that Whitestone would have to debate their way through both Sam and Evan and Zephyr and Kaya to claim the title. It never came to that, however. Sam and Evan, in their matching Blues Brothers suits, their wild red hair, their briefcases, and their all-important blue Gatorade, atoned for the tough loss in 2011. Debate, in many ways, is like wrestling. Everyone at this level knows the moves. It's really about who can execute them. Sam and Evan somehow put Whitestone's intellectual shoulders to the mat in one of the tensest semifinal debates in recent memory. Naturally, I remember nothing. I'm not used to this. I was hyperventilating into a paper bag. Mom says the guys were worthy of the state title. They had just won.
You know, those boys are just such pure logical debaters. There's nothing you can throw at them that they can't respond to. We walked out and the boys turned to me and said, you know, that wasn't our best debate. And I said to them, yeah, but I don't think it needed to be. I think you won. You're that good. And they had all three decisions from all three judges, and they were placed first or second speaker by every judge.
And in one final coup, the top speaker points of the tournament went to Ben Gordon, the sophomore who took the forfeit so Sitka would be in the best position to take the title. When Ben Gordon and Ryan Apathy get to the semis next year as juniors, they will have already been there twice, and all pass their parents the paper bag.
A bill reestablishing an Alaska coastal management program has been introduced into the State House of Representatives. House Bill 325 is largely the same as a citizens initiative on track for a statewide vote later this year. Lawmakers can preempt the measure by passing substantially similar legislation. The bill was introduced by 7 members of the House Majority Caucus, including Kodiak Republican and Majority Leader Alan Osterman as primary sponsor. Osterman cannot be reached for comment for this story. Minority Leader Juneau Democrat Beth Kurtula signed on as a co-sponsor as soon as the bill was introduced.
For me, it's maintaining people's ability to be part of the process and for Alaskans to be able to have the right to speak up against the federal government on its activities and projects in Alaska.
For more than 30 years, the Coastal Management Program gave the state and local communities greater input into federal permitting decisions along Alaska's coastline. It also helped developers by streamlining the regulatory processes of various state and federal agencies. The program closed last year after lawmakers and the Parnell administration failed to reach a deal to reauthorize it. The administration and some House Republicans fought efforts by rural lawmakers and Democrats to expand the role of local communities. Kurt Tula, who once worked as a coastal management lawyer for the state, says the program gave Alaskans a voice they now lack.
It's the program that makes all of the agencies and the people involved and communities sit down at the table and work things out. And while the huge companies might have a whole permitting department and it may not be quite so difficult for them, it's pretty hard on the smaller companies or the individuals who want to go get permits that affect the coastal zone.
Juneau Mayor Bruce Botello is a prime sponsor of the Coastal Management Citizens Initiative and chairman of the Alaska Sea Party, which has been advocating for its passage. He says the group would prefer the legislature take action. If lawmakers wait to see if voters pass the initiative, Botello says the proposed program would not get up and running until at least the summer of 2013.
It speeds up the process by at least a year. Legislation that is enacted now could be in place in the FY 13 budget cycle, which is to say after July 1st, 2012.
Botello admits the Sea Party would also like to avoid costly and potentially divisive campaign to pass the initiative. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for mostly cloudy skies, scattered rain showers, highs around 41, west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. This is KCAW in Sitka.